I've had a dollar to my name, and I've had friends that walked away, and I've even lost myself a time or two. There were bridges crossed and burned, through all the wreckage I had learned, there's one thing that I could never lose. If I got Jesus, I've got all that I could ever need. Take the world away from me, I'll be okay. If I got Jesus, there's a hope that's living deep inside, and a joy that I could never hide. If I got Jesus, I've got it all.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning on our second day of the 40-day fast. I pray that everybody's doing well. I still cannot believe that we are in 2026. It just seems so hard to believe. But we are, and here we are. But we are in the middle of a 40-day fast. This is day two, so we're just beginning. So I want to just kind of review what we're going to be doing. I hope everybody got your emails. I did set up a text messaging group so that I can, you know, text you with notices whenever I get things posted and stuff like that. Or if God, you know, calls a special assembly. I mean, you don't know what God's going to do. You know, I'm excited about it. So, I have on our website a page set up just for us that I'm going to chronicle every day and what God says and the scriptures and the word that comes forth. If there's any dreams, And what God gives any of you, you know, I told you to text me whenever God does. And I would like for this to be a collaborative effort, you know, all of us as a team before the throne for the 40 days. And so that will be a way of, it's not open to the public. It's only open to you guys that has the link to the actual page. And then on that page, it'll have numbers, which would be the days of the whenever the meeting was. And then it'll be like the meeting notes of that day. So I already have up the notes from yesterday, which I gave you a PDF of the Abrahamic blessing. So you have that. So that's on the website. And then we're going to meet Monday through Friday. Every morning at 7:30 on this prayer call. If you're not able to be here, it is being recorded. It will be uploaded on the website, and it will not be made public, so I won't put it on Band or Patreon or anything like that. but it will be put up on the website. Now, in cases like what we have this morning, where I actually have a word for you, I've already put together a PowerPoint presentation. So I will put that up as a PowerPoint or as a PDF for you guys up on the website when I put today's notes. Okay? So let's go ahead and get started with prayer, and then I'll share the word. Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to come together in your name as the body of Christ, Lord, coming together seeking your face to kick off the year of 2026. We thank you, God, that you have something fresh and new for us as a team this year, Lord. And I thank you that we do have your attention, that you are here. Your word says, when two or more are gathered in your name, that you are in the midst of them. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you will lead and guide us through this 40-day, I don't really want to say boot camp, but like a 40 days of conservation, of setting aside, equipping and preparing. And we thank you for that, Lord. And so we commit this day to you, Lord. We commit this word to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I will pray at the end of this, you know, which will be a more deeper prayer. This is just for the sermon. Okay. When I was giving you guys the Abrahamic blessing, there was something that came out of my spirit that has excuse me, that has, I realize that I need to drink more water today, but I had something resonate in my spirit from that word that was just so good on my palate, and that was about Lot's wife. So I woke up this morning with that still on my spirit, and I did a lot of digging. So today's sermon is called Don't Lose Your Salt. Don't lose your salt. Like Lot's wife did. She became a hard pillar of salt. Now, in the Bible, when it talks about salt, it actually has different meanings. It can metaphorically mean preservation, flavor, loyalty, or judgment. We're going to review many different scriptures having to do with the many different aspects of salt and what it means to us as the body of Christ. First of all, you are the salt. You are the salt. Colossians 4:6 states, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. I had someone that I talked to last night, that brought it up to me that I had bad salt at one time and talked about how my tongue was sharp, which, you know, I've had people say this before, and I was explaining, not excuse wise, but I was explaining that that's kind of the prophet in me, is that, you know, just saying it how it is type of deal. But some people don't know how to react to that. But still, I hurt someone that she loved by the way that I answered them. And God has been dealing with me about this. And this scripture is a great example of that. I should have had better salt, you see. So naturally, I had to repent. But let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. You can still be a prophet and you can still be to the point, but season it with salt, you see, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Like, for instance, you know, people would send me emails by the thousands, you know, and I like to have communication with everybody, so I'm always answering, but sometimes I'm just short. I'll say, no, they're farce. No, you know, and then because I have so many I have to go through. And so I've hurt people doing that because they're like, because they want you to answer back like you're spending an hour with them. You know what I mean? Like, oh, it was so nice of you to email me. Oh, thank you. And giving this long answer, and I'm like, I don't have time for that. It's either I ignore you because I have so much to do, like most other people out there do, or I just give you a quick answer, yes or no, and move on. But because of that, I've heard some people. It's not funny, but I'm just telling you. So, you know, when they complain, I tell them, well, would you rather me answer you or would you rather me just ignore you because I'm too busy, you know, type of deal. But anyway, now, Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth. But if that salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, except be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. That's a heavy saying. I do not want to be that salt. Oh, no. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. Oh, I mean, it's the same one. It's just the rest of the scriptures. It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light in all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So in other words, people are watching how you're using your salt. Now, salt is also healing. 2 Kings 2:21. Then he went out to the spring of water and threw salt in it. Thus saith the Lord, I have healed this water. From now on, neither death nor miscarriage shall come from it. Isn't that something? Salt can be as a covenant. Leviticus 2:13. You shall season all your grain offerings with salt. You shall not let the salt of the covenant with your God be missing from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt. Isn't that something? Numbers 18:19. All the holy contributions that the people of Israel present to the Lord, I give to you and to your sons and your daughters with you as a perpetual due. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord for you and for your offspring with you. Isn't that beautiful? 2 Chronicles 13:5. Ought you to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingship over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt. Salt is also used for preservation. So you, as the bride of Christ, you are preserved for God. You know, I have to say this, that whether you're married or whether you're single, you're always married. You're always married to the Lord. You have a husband. It's just whether he's in physical form or whether he's not. Jesus is always your husband, you know. So you are preserved. You know, when you think about Jewish culture and the way that the women had to be prepared for their groom, think of Esther when she had to be prepared for the king. It was months. I mean, it was like a year where she had to, you know, have all these oils put on her and all this preservation to get ready for the king. We are preserved for God. Mark 9:49 says, for everyone will be salted with fire. Uh-oh. Ezekiel 16:4. And as for your birth, on the day that you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to cleanse you, nor rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So in other words, we are preparing our temple to be used as salt. Ezekiel 43:24. You shall present them before the Lord, and the priest shall sprinkle salt on them and offer them up as a burnt offering to the Lord. Now, we're actually going to do this today. We are going to offer ourselves as salt, and we're going to ask God, this is what I hear him saying today for us, that he is going to refresh our salt. Isn't that beautiful? He is going to restore our salt. And we're going to talk about that, because our past salt that maybe got hard through a lot of hurt and whatever has happened back there, like Lot's wife, we're going to be healed of that today. So we're going to receive a fresh outpouring of salt. Okay, Genesis 19:26. See, salt is used as judgment as well. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And you all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. When I used to do my Bible study, and I would do it on all the different books of the Bible, it was so much fun. Whenever I did Sodom and Gomorrah, man, that was the best Bible study when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah. And the reason that is, is because of when Abram separated from Lot, they were having disputes within the family because they each had so much by the millions, okay? And with cattle and all the people and everything. So Abram told Lot, hey, why don't you just pick any land you want and you can have it? So he did. He picked the primest, choicest land. Well, Abram said, go for it. So he chose land towards Sodom. Beautiful country. But his first mistake, Lot, who came as a millionaire with all his staff and all of his animals, was that the way the Bible describes it is, he pitched his tent towards Sodom, which means his attention gazed towards the debauchery. That was the first mistake. And then you discover, as you read the story, that he lost everything. All the millions gone, all the cattle gone, all of his family gone. When the destruction was coming to Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels kept telling him, you've got to leave. But see, they had kids and stuff. And they wanted them to go, so they were delaying. But the angels had to pull them out. This is how sad this is. And said, we have got to hurry up because we've got to judge the city. You've got to get out now. So by the time they pulled them out, he had nothing. Even the family that lived with him, the wife and the two perverted daughters, because they were corrupt from the city, had to be pulled out. So can you imagine being that destitute? And so Lot's wife, obviously, in her heart, did not want to leave. And so she looked back when the instructions from God was, do not look. But she looked back, and we're going to talk about that more in a minute, what that really meant. Zephaniah 2:9. Therefore, as I live, declares the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Moab shall become like Sodom, and the Ammonites like Gomorrah, a land possessed by nettles and salt pits, and a waste forever. The remnant of my people shall plunder them, and the survivors of my nation shall possess them. Notice that the word salt pits are in this judgment form of waste. 2 Samuel 8:13, and David made a name for himself when he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. Now we know that in current day time, we're battling with the Edomites. And that's what they're saying. Free Edom. Freedom. That's what they're wanting, to be free of Christianity. We are a thorn in these people's flesh. That's why, here we go, y'all got me going. That's why they want to take us back to Egypt. Because they want us to suffer the way they have suffered. And they want us to go back into slavery, which I said last night on the news, that these people that are going into this Noahidism, this Hebrew roots deal, is going to nothingness, slavery, just like Egypt. It's the saddest thing. Now, Jeremiah 17:5-6, thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places in the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Ouch, ouch, ouch. That's another thing we talked about last night on the news. When you are homeless, because a lot of people right now are becoming homeless, it's really sad what's happening in our country. When you have Jesus, it's different. Because you have someone to talk to. You are not alone. He does provide. He gives you miracles. He is there. So it's a lot different than if you're homeless in rebellion. You are open to demons. I showed you guys one night on the news about this one guy that is way down in the tubes, you know, down in the tunnels underneath Las Vegas. And he is tortured by demons every night, and he is still alive. And I was telling you guys, I was like, is that not the saddest, man? You know, that I'm sure, because he knows it's demons. I mean, he even told this guy, I interviewed him, he knows it's demons that's torturing him. They stand there and they mock him, they talk to him and everything. You know, and see, this is another thing, is that, you know, another part of the mama word that I gave you guys is that we've got to let our kids go. We've got to let them be buffeted by Satan for a while. Because if we become so much of a protection, they can never find God. And that hurts them. Because we're always God. I will protect you. I will take you under my wing. I will provide for you. I will look out for you. You see what I mean? We don't allow them to go out there and find out for themselves why they need Jesus. That we're not always going to be the solution to their problem, you know. And that is part of judgment, see. As you notice in the New Testament, the Bible talks about, even Paul, the apostles, they talk about we have to hand them over to Satan. And it sounds awful, but it's like they have to be whipped for a while. They have to see it to open up their stupidness, their, you know, illiterateness, their rebellion. You know, they're going to have to see the consequences of their decisions. If we're always saving them, reaching in with our arm of flesh and always saving them, they're never going to see him. So when the beast comes, he's just going to swift them right away. He's just going to, you know, take them up, because when you are no longer there and they're shocked because you can't help them anymore because you are now separated from the beast system, so thus your hands are out of it. There's nothing. You know, what's going to be their answer? Do you think they're going to suffer with you while you're suffering? I don't think so, because they don't know what it's like to suffer. We've always, as mamas, we've always kept them in the little arm, you know. I told y'all a story about those little chicks that we had run around the farm. We had this, there was 10 of them. And there was one that was a little runt that we just loved from the moment this thing was born. And we followed that thing and the way that, you know, they would all kind of peek on him and stuff. Because they do have pecking orders in chickens. But the mama kind of set all them little things straight and said, you're not going to. So she protected you. So then this little hen became protected. So one day, Dennis and I was feeding the chickens at night, and he had built this thing on the outside of the chicken coop for them to be able to roost outside. And he put, you know, plastic around it to protect them from the element, but he had put up some sticks, some long sticks for them to be able to get up real high and you know, roost up there. Well, there's that little baby chick. All them other chicks, see, they were a lot bigger, and they was able to fly up there with old mama. But that baby was down there at the bottom, just kept looking up like, I can't get to you, mama. So I told Dennis, I said, Dennis, I ain't leaving tonight. I am not leaving until that chick gets up there by its mama. So Dennis goes off and finds his long stick, you know, that's about maybe 8 foot long. So he comes back over and he puts that stick on that top ledge, because what it was, the mama hen was up there with all the other little baby chicks on the left of the wall. So on the right of the wall, Dennis had these other sticks that were like layers, one and then go up a layer, up a layer. So the baby chicks would go up to the top third layer and then they'd fly across to the mama. But the little baby chick was so small because she was a runt, she couldn't get to the next level. So he goes out there and he finds this long stick and puts it up to the one he could get on and attached it where that little chick could just get on that stick and walk up very kindly to the mama. So we watched and we're like, oh, you know, we pray that that little baby will figure out how to get on that stick. Because it was already on that level to where it couldn't go the next one. So he put the stick up there and he walked off and we were both watching it. That little baby chick was looking so frustrated, like, how am I going to get up there to mama? So it looked over there and it saw the stick. So we're like, go, you know, it's like watching the Olympics. Go, get on the stick. So the little baby goes over there and gets on the stick and runs up there to the mama. This was the cutest thing. I wish I could have it on film. That baby runs over there to that mama chick and she opened up her wing and let the baby crawl under her wing, and she closed her in. Can you believe that? But now that little baby chick, oh, she is as big as, she finally grew up. I don't know why she was such a runt, but she finally grew up to where now she's as big as the other chicks, and they all treat her the same now. But she was able to get under mama's wings, so that was cool. I don't even know why I was telling you that story. Got off on my rabbit trail. Okay, let's go back to the to the sermon here. Okay. Oh, we was talking about in the parched places. Okay, when you're thirsty, you want water. If you eat a lot of salt, you want water, right? In an uninhabited salt land. So let's continue. So the encouraging word today is, don't lose your flavor. Mark 9:50 says, salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. I was writing in my journal this morning about two beautiful ladies that I made peace with yesterday and how much that meant to me, because I want peace with everybody. I'm like, God, bring all the babies back home. Bring all the babies back home. Anyway, Luke 14:34. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? Isn't this beautiful? Because today God's going to restore our salt. This is so amazing. Job 6:6. Can that which is tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the juice of the mallow? In other words, it's much better with salt, so we need good salt. So, don't be like Lot's wife, looking back at what was or what could have been. Especially a lot of us into 2026, we did this on New Year's Eve where we let 2025 go, we let the past go, we let what we hoped our life would have been but is not go. Our expectations of others that we wish was different and is not, we let that go, you know. So today we're going to talk about Lot's wife. Now, why did Lot's wife turn into a pillar of salt? Why did her salt get so hard that she ends up to this day being a sign and wonder to mankind? She turned into a pillar of salt, a statue so hard. Well, let's look at that. Number one, she was looking back in regret, probably about how did their family ever get this far, when in times past they were with Abram, they had it all, they had millions, they had all the cattle, they had it going, they was able to choose what land they wanted, and they picked the most plushest, beautifulest land. How did I get here? Number one. Number two, she still had children in the city. Destruction all around. Her kids dying and going to hell. And she knows it. She's looking back in regret of her children. Number three, fear of the unknown future. Now she's having to walk with her husband that she's mad at. She's having to walk with her daughters, and then her sons are left back in the city. So she has fear of the unknown future that is hard to go into because she's so angry over what's happened back here. Number four, she's sad over the judgment of the country that she loves. And I know probably everybody listening to me right now or in the future has the same feeling about our country or the country you live in. I don't believe there's anybody that's attached to me that does not love their country. Yeah, we're disappointed in it. And yeah, we're sad of what's happened, but it's our country, the good, the bad, and the ugly, just like our kids are. Just like our spouses, just like our parents. I mean, we love all these people, the good, the bad, and the ugly, with all their flaws, their problems, and their issues they deal with. You still love them. And that's the same with our country. Just because we're speaking out and letting our voice be known doesn't mean we don't love it. This is what gets me about these people that say we're not the patriots. Please. No, we are the patriots because we love Jesus more than we love the country. And that's a true patriot right there. So Lot's wife is looking back at the country that she loved, where she raised her family and everything and had all these cultural events and yada yada. Now, or she could be looking at it because of the debauchery that's there and in bewilderment that she was a part of that. It could have been that too. But still, the country is being judged. Number five, the sounds and the smells of the judgment was too much. The distractions in her mind as she's trying to walk forward, trying to go in the faith, trying to obey God, trying to be with her family, the ones that are left, and to go forward into this future that you cannot figure out. You don't know what's ahead. You're walking in the wilderness. There's nothing ahead that you can see or figure out. That's like all of us right now in 2026, ain't it? But because of the destruction back here behind her that she is familiar with, which is the next one, number six, trusting the familiar too much. It's more comfortable being back there because that's where your flesh is used to. That's why she turned into a hard pillar of salt. So the encouraging word for you guys today is to have faith in God for your future. Let's all do. As God refreshes us today with our salt and he puts the coal of fire on our tongue and he gives us a fresh season of salt, a fresh outpouring of the Spirit, a fresh covering of His glory. Let us have faith from this point forward, not looking back. So everybody right now, lift your hands, and we're going to receive a fresh outpouring of salt today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank You so much for Your word this morning. Lord, we saw in Your word all the many aspects of salt, the judgment and the purification of salt and the preservation of salt and the flavoring of the salt. And Lord, today we commit to You as the body of Christ, our bodies as a living sacrifice to You today, Lord. We give You our body with all the flaws and all of the issues and all of the hurts and the pains and all of the sorrows of the past and the disappointments and the letdowns and the expectations that we have, Lord. We just give it all to You by lifting our hands right now, God. And we are asking You to pour that fresh oil of salt from heaven, to pour down upon our vessel, Lord, and just cleanse us. Heal us, deliver us, set us free this morning. Praise You, Jesus. You are worthy to be praised. I just see angels over us with bowls of salt. Oh, praise You, Lord, praise You. How much we repent for the past, Lord. And how much we are humbled before a holy God this morning. We're so grateful for this salt. We're so grateful for Your presence, Lord. We're so grateful for Your healing power. Grateful for Your word. Oh, for You are worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. I feel the fire. Pouring down from heaven. I feel the glory now. Hallelujah. God is good, ain't He? I'm telling you, bride, we need this fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yes, we do. We need more power, more fire, more glory in this hour right now than we've ever needed before. Amen. So that's my encouraging word for you guys today. And I pray that you will have a wonderful weekend. Now we will gather again on Monday, and we will do Monday through Friday next week. And I know we didn't have a lot of people on here today because they just got it yesterday, and you know, everybody's got to get used to it over the weekend. So we will start on our real routine on Monday through Friday at 7:30 in the morning. And I will get this posted along with this PDF today. Now, I'm about to open up the prayer lines after I stop the recording for any of you guys that need prayer or want to ask questions or even, you know, want to add something to today. Okay? God bless.